Earners, what's up? Look, in the world of personal finance management, finding the right tool is crucial. If you've been relying on Mint to keep your personal finances in check, I got a mix of news for you. Mint is closing down. But here's a silver lining. Monarch Money is stepping up as the go-to financial app, and users, including myself, are making the switch with a smile. Before Monarch, juggling my finances felt like navigating a stormy sea. Other apps either lacked features or were too cumbersome. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design turned financial management from a chore into a breeze. The constant updates, well, that's the cherry on top. But what truly set it apart for me was its collaboration feature. Money matters can strain relationships, but Monarch brings peace to the table. The app's collaboration tools allow my partner and I to seamlessly manage our finances together. We aligned on our budgets, tracked our cash flow, and even planned our future goals all in one place. Speaking of goals, be it saving for a down payment, your dream vacation, or your children's education, Monarch simplifies it all. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal hailed it as the best budgeting app. This isn't just an app. It's the next generation of personal finance management, ad-free, intuitive, and always evolving with you in mind. Now look, Monarch isn't just another app. It's the all-in-one solution, from effortlessly importing your data from Mint to customizing your dashboard to your heart's content. Monarch respects your privacy with a strict no ads, no data selling policy. This is financial management as it should be, focused on you. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Mondays. That's monarchmoney.com/Mondays for your extended 30-day free trial.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes.
Yo, what up? What up? Tube, what up? Ernest, what's up?
Let's go.
Welcome back. Market Mondays, another glorious edition. Everybody's in a panic these days. Stock market goes up, it goes down, roller coaster ride.
We had a hell of a week last week.
Yeah. We got a lot to talk about. Facebook.
A whole lot.
There's a lot going on in the world these days. But first and foremost, before we start, just make some brief announcements. Shout out to everybody out there that's tuned in. Big week for EYL. Tomorrow, got my boy 2 Chainz.
Shout out to Tony. Quick turnaround time.
Big Tony.
Success loves speed. So
for real.
His new album is out right now. Don't Sell Itself. Make sure you get that on all streaming platforms. Dope body of work, a lot of great features.
A lot of features.
So yeah, we was part of his press run. Shout out to Def Jam.
Shout out to the Def Jam.
Pulled up.
Yeah.
I'll be there in 5 minutes. 2 hours later, I'll be there in 5 minutes.
You know how I go. shout out to that boy out late. Yeah,
that's a fact, man. Shout out to you, you pulled up. That was a surprise.
He was in town.
Yeah.
Yes, Ian was definitely in town. So, but dope episode, a good conversation. You know, we spoke about a variety of different things. Metaverse, he actually had a concert in the Metaverse. So he has his take on that. We spoke about his businesses. We actually interviewed his business partner before.
Yes.
Shout out to Snoop. So
man.
We already
She's
had
about
some...
to get married, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
For real?
Congrats. Yeah.
Congratulations. Congrats. So we already had some history as far as like his restaurants, Escobar Lounge. I think he has like 3 of the Escobar Lounges. Mm-hmm. He's actually turned it into a franchise. That's dope.
He has a
nail salon.
Brilliant.
Business.
Brilliant model.
And of course, you know, talking about the music industry and, you know, artists that complain about not owning their masters. He actually owns his masters.
Not Tony.
Yeah, he owns his masters. So yeah, dope conversation, man. You know, cool guy. So check that out tomorrow, 8:00 Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube channel and all podcast outlets. And this week, instead of talking about what we're doing for EYL University, I got an announcement for EYL University. We have started a TikTok page for EYL University, and we started a YouTube page for EYL University. So on that YouTube page and on the TikTok, it's going to be, you know, micro content from different classes. We're going to let the club leaders do different creative things. And we got a lot of stuff planned. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a giveaway of $5,000 and five scholarships, which is equivalent to $10,000. But we have to get 10,000 subscribers first. 10,000 subscribers on YouTube and 10,000 people to follow the EYL University TikTok page. So you can go to our website. There's a link for the YouTube. And then you can just go to TikTok. And yeah, I mean, it's free. So yeah. Everybody should do it just because. But yes. if you need a little incentive, follow EYL University on TikTok. Follow it on YouTube. As soon as we get to 10,000, we will be having some goodies for
don't
you.
Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't play yourself. Reward yourself. Head over there. Do it.
Oh, and London. London, we are on our way out there.
Cheerio.
We're going to have a network.
Ciao, bruv.
We're going to have a networking vibe.
Chill, fam. Chill.
Yes, the 24th of February, Ian Dunlap will be in the building. And this is going to be a dope experience. Have you been to Europe before?
Yep.
Okay.
Have you been to London? No.
So this will be a lot of us. I've only been there for one day. So most of us, this will be our first time actually in London. Mm-hmm. So we want to vibe with y'all guys. We're going to network. We're going to hopefully set up some podcast interviews with some entrepreneurs out there. You know, I'm actually going to be out there for the whole entire week. It's actually my birthday out there too. So I'm going to spend my birthday out there. So I'm looking forward to it. So go to our website, RSVP, space is extremely limited. London, we can't wait to see you. And then also big, big birthday shout out to Ian's son, the star of the whole situation. Xander turns 7 today.
Yeah, 7. Yep.
7 years
Happy
old.
Happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday.
If you're watching, go to bed. I love you. You've had enough cake, enough Fortnite. You're amazing. You're everything I dreamed of and more, though. But
happy
go to
birthday.
Bed.
Happy birthday.
Cash App soon come.
February gang. Yes, it's always an honor to be born in February. And happy belated birthday to my dad. His birthday was yesterday.
Yo, happy belated to the real general.
Yeah. The dad dope, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it, brother. Troy.
Yeah, man. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to our earners, all the Red Panda family. As you know, man, we wanted to let y'all know about a great choice if you're looking to bank or invest. It's the good folks at Ally. It's a leading digital financial service company with passion and customer service, innovative financial solutions, and our relentlessly focused on doing it right for both customers and our communities. Get with Ally so that you can save, invest, and spend on the things that matter most to you. For everything we need, we're all better off with an Ally. Shout out to good folks over there. We got Jack and shout out to the UM team that's part of that situation. Nothing but love for our people over there. Now you know what time it is, man. Do your own research. Do your own research. Your homework is very important, man. You don't even got to turn it in. Just don't play yourself. All right. So here's a disclaimer. Our content is intended to be used and must be used for informational purposes only. It's very important that you do your own analysis before making any investment based on your own personal circumstances. You should take independent financial advice from a professional in connection with or independently research and verify any information that you find on our show and wish to rely upon, whether for the purpose of making an investment decision or otherwise. This is a message brought to you by the good folks at Earn Your Leisure and the good brother Ian Dunlap, the master investor. We appreciate y'all. I know y'all doing your homework. I seen some of y'all portfolios. Yeah. Y'all keep running up on me.
Yeah.
Shout out to my man Maurice in the gym. He said, yo, I know you came to work out. We'll talk about my portfolio after. So shout out to him.
That's dope.
Yes. Ian, announcements?
Yeah, Stock Club will be, the call will be at 9:30 tonight. I'll send you guys the link in Telegram. We're going to move the dates for Trading After Dark, so I'll let you guys know that next week. We're probably going to lean towards Thursdays. And if you guys are ready for this Dream Team Trading Room, where I can show you how to make 10 grand to 40 grand in one trade, please put yes in chat. We're collectively coming to dominate this year. So go. Notice he said go join their TikTok and not IG. We're going to talk about it later. but go to their TikTok and YouTube. And if you want to run these numbers up, let's go. I keep telling y'all, but what do I know?
Staying with the times.
All right, so speaking of that, let's get into this. This is the big one from last week. It's still a big issue even this week. Facebook. So they had their earnings report and
Nelly down baby.
Big issue. So this was the biggest one day drop in stock market history, yes, as far as how much money was taken off the books. I think over $200 billion.
$230 billion
was erased in one day. Facebook stock went down like 25%. Is down again today. So, okay, it's a couple different factors for this.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't hit their earnings,
mm-hmm,
projected earnings,
mm-hmm,
but also for the first time in 18 years, they had a negative growth rate on Facebook. Now, Instagram and WhatsApp still had positive growth rates, but modest.
Supposedly on Instagram.
Well, yeah, reported. but Facebook had a negative growth for the first, and like I said, that's the, I think they had it one other time, the first quarter ever. But for the most part, in 18 years, they've never had, they've always had.
First time in history.
And then, of course, they have issues with Apple.
Big issue.
The privacy situation.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it came out that they've threatened Europe to not let Europeans use Facebook or TikTok or Instagram, because the European government is trying to, you know, restrict, you know, policies as far as for monitoring, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Meta, Web 3.0,
yeah,
they lost, I forgot how much billion, a couple of billion dollars.
$10 billion projected. The real number is like 11.3, but they're, you know, sweeping it under the rug. Yeah, but Meta was going to be the game.
I remember we said, well, what's going to be the most important? Well, we said Facebook, but this is number one reason. Are people going to buy in it? Are they going to believe in it?
Well, I'm gonna let
first quarter.
Let's talk about the situation. But before, I just want to add my two cents into this, because I feel like makes a lot of sense why he would rebrand the company's name into Meta, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at the situation, it's like, okay, a mountain can only, there's only two sides to a mountain, going up and going down. Now, if you climb Mount Everest and you're 500 feet down from the top, you're still higher than anybody else in the world, but you're on the downward side. So I say that to say everything has a peak. So he might have been looking at the situation like, okay, we wasn't able to purchase TikTok. We might be at a peak in our social media influence. What's the next direction? The next direction is Metaverse, Web 3.0, all of this stuff. One smart thing that he did do is to actually name it Meta, because that, in my brain, this is all my opinion, that's an attempt to coin the phrase, like Band-Aid, and like become synonymous with the whole metaverse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of forward way of thinking. But it's a legacy brand. It's always crazy to call Facebook a legacy brand, but they really are at this point, like almost 20 years. And at this point, 20 years, like 100 years in this society. Do people trust Facebook? Are they going to have as easy of a road into just dominating metaverse? Will metaverse even be a thing that will even be that relevant in mm-hmm. the next 5 years? A lot of question marks. So we'll have a conversation. But Ian, what are 10 reasons why you think this is the end of Facebook?
And I know everyone went crazy on Instagram when I posted this, right? So for context, I want to tell everyone, I've been a user of Facebook since 2005. Shout out to CVG who put me on the platform. I tried to convince some of my family to angel invest in it. I think $100,000 would have turned into $33.5 million. It didn't happen, but I'm not a hater of Facebook, but for where they are in the landscape, this is the start of their decline. So I think Facebook has like 6 more years before they go the route of, I mean, we talked about it when we was in, before Chains came in, like they're going to go the route of IBM. Like they are going to be still a great company. The stock won't be worth as much, however. And I'll list the reasons here. Number one, Meta, $10 billion in losses on Oculus AR and VR in 2021 alone. That will probably happen for the next 2 to 3 years. Everyone argues with me about Oculus. One. Two. So for illustration, show and tell. For those of you who are arguing with me, Oculus is the wave. The average person that has an Oculus only uses it once a month. So what does that make your ad platform look like? And what commercial viability does it have if you're not using it more than once a month? If you have an Oculus, how often are you actually using it? Please put that in chat. Number two, government is going to block every large acquisition going forward. That deal that Microsoft pulled off with buying a gaming company a couple weeks ago, Activision. Yeah, and talks of it. They will never let Facebook do that. I'll talk about it later, but the government hates Facebook. Most hedge fund managers, even the ones that took them public, hates Zuckerberg. So they're going to have some blockages there that most companies will not have. As Rashad talked about, negative net user growth. And if we're going to be honest, if they weren't creating profiles for people before they even signed up for an account on Facebook, so even if you're on Facebook or not, if you go look, they have your data in there already. And if they reported the real numbers on IG without the bots, negative growth would have been reported 3 years ago. Apple, of course, blocked them because, once again, Zuckerberg is not liked. So Tim Cook devised a very strategic way to take away all revenue on the ad side from them. So between the losses in AR and VR and Apple, that's a $24 billion hit to their business. For those of you who don't know, $24 billion is a hell of a lot of money to lose, and it's not easy to recover. And then if you look in terms of social and the tech climate, they have an inferior product. When's the last time anybody here has been like, man, I just love Facebook? Instagram isn't as amazing as it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Hence why they told you to go to TikTok for EYLU instead of IG, right?
Partial.
On the employee side, not many people are proud to even work at Facebook. Now, we know one, shout out Brian, love you dearly. But for most people only stay at Facebook 1.3 years. What does that do? Makes the cost of hiring a hell of a lot higher. And then when retention is low, you can't have stickiness in your products because you having teams constantly change. And that's not a good thing. They missed the opportunity on a phone in 2009 and between 2009 and 2011, which Chamath was working on, and they needed a hardware product. And now, because the trust is so low, no one will want a phone from them. There was a sweet spot, like a lane that they had, they could have put out a phone internationally and could have attracted more users or kept them in their ecosystem longer, and they never did it. And the biggest one that I'll go to outside of trust, Apple is now one of their main competitors. So everyone's talking about the metaverse, but what about the omniverse? If Apple and Google teams up, because Google pays Apple $15 billion a year to be the primary search feature on the iPhone and on the MacBook and on iOS. Google is going to relaunch their Glass product they were working on in 2010. Apple is now speeding up the rate in which they do AR and VR. And what if they team up to take out Facebook? You have to be very mindful. So when you guys are like, oh, this, I want to talk about is Apple and Microsoft. They are the cartel. You know who Facebook is? They're Wendy from Ozark. You can act tough all you want to, but when you got to go fly to Mexico, it's over with.
Well, you guys can
argue with me. Listen.
At some point, you got to see the Navarro family.
So let me ask
you. You have to go see them.
Yeah. Can I add to yours real quick?
Yeah.
I think those are all great points, but Facebook, I mean, it's interesting if we study the history of it. They've done this before, right? Speaking of the metaverse, when everybody was using browsers in 2008, they decided in 2011 to go to the app, right? Mm-hmm. And it became an app. The problem with having the app is that you don't control that space, uh-huh. right? You got to put it on a device. Your competitor owns that device, right? The Apple phone, the iPhone became that device. Obviously, uh-huh. Android was a device too, but you don't control that either. And so you have to stay within the guidelines of the policies that they put. And so when most people are looking at this, they're like, oh, I don't really understand. Why are they blaming Apple? So let me just peel back the layers so we understand this clearly. Apple put in the app tracking transparency policy, right? So what that does is it tells companies what you're interested in. They find out your information and they sell advertisers. And that's exactly how Facebook makes money. Mm-hmm. So if I have the option to choose whether you get to follow me or not, and I say, no, I'm not a customer for you anymore,
uh-huh.
right? The ramifications of that on a yearly basis, right? If people keep saying no, that means that the ad revenue goes down. They're projecting about $8.5 billion a year. So if your main source of income is advertising and they're uh-huh. telling you that we're squeezing the amount of people you can advertise, obviously you're going to make money, which is why when you don't control the space, like I said, if they went from browser to app and now metaverse, well, mm-hmm. do they control that space? Well, not really, right? The metaverse in their mind, in a scheme of the whole space is like, if the metaverse is a tree, Meta, the company, is just a branch, because there'll be plenty of other places that people can go to. So that's interesting too. So when we look at this like totality, yeah, and they're using a lot of language. And I just want to break down language, right? So when they say DAUs, like people see that in the, they're reading, right? Daily average users. Yeah, they went down by like, I think a million or half a million users on a daily rate, right? I think it was 1.9, I got the numbers here, 1.9, 2 billion. They were expecting 1.93. So on a scale, it doesn't seem like that's a lot. But like you said, if you're not going up, that means you must be.
You're going, and now you're being attacked by government, hedge funds, the top companies, and even in the ad model. Then Google has the best business model in the history of mankind. Their ad model is not better than Google. So now, also, when you lose trust and then you have an inferior product, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. It's current around in the 220 range. What do you have Facebook 2-year projection?
They'll be probably back around 302.56. Easily, and some people were messing me like, well, this is a good time to buy. Technically, it could be, but there are so many better companies that you can put money into, it's not worth it. Like, even with the rebrand, even with the metaverse, like the thing that people forget from a business perspective, mergers and acquisitions are a terrible way to grow business. Because what happens when you can no longer acquire? No innovation. Even to take him, he got the metaverse name out of a book. And any top 50 brand in history, you can go through from 1800s to now, anytime you've had to change your name because of public perception issues, it was never a good sign.
Let me, you make a good point. If this was a court of law, you definitely made a good point. You stated your case very well. But let me be the defense attorney a little bit here for Meta. Because I've spent a tremendous amount.
Audio change.
We good?
No talking again?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay, you're good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, we're good.
I've spent a tremendous amount of time on social media, specifically Instagram. Instagram changed our lives. Definitely changed my life for sure.
Yeah, Facebook changed my Instagram. Yeah.
So I will say this. People in our age range, 30-year-olds, late 20s, 40-year-olds. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to leave Instagram. I don't think that Instagram is going to get erased by TikTok. I think TikTok is a very formidable opponent, especially for young people. But even in the car with my son this yesterday, him and his friends, there's three of his friends. And I'm like, what's better, Instagram or TikTok? And they were split. One person said TikTok, two people said Instagram. I still feel that Instagram is a better product than TikTok. I like Instagram better. I'm just saying from my appearance. I like Instagram better. They have a tremendous head start. They have tremendous cultural relevance. Mm-hmm. Tremendous. Never seen anything like their cultural relevance is unmarked. So I say that to say, I think Instagram is here for a while. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the decline of Instagram might not be right now. Facebook is a different story. WhatsApp is an interesting situation. We'll see what happens with Metaverse. They have a mixed bag of products.
And it should be more dominant as a result. If Apple had all those entities, that stock price would be 900 per. But Instagram is amazing. Beautiful product, but they kept copying. So, and we see what everybody who try and copy us, right? Yo, I'm going to do the same thing as Ian do. It don't hit the same. You ain't been doing this since 08. You're not free. The people can tell. When a boy go crazy, they know I'm free, right? So when you copy stories, great, it worked. You copied out, then you did IGTV. Did not work. You tried to copy reels.
That's their business. That's their business model.
That's important to know. Here's the thing, right? When you take it from a smaller company, long term, people only remember the smaller company. Like, people don't talk about Vine anymore.
Vine, Snapchat.
They still hit.
They took the stories from Snapchat.
That's what I'm saying. So like that is their model, right? So like even with TikTok dominating at a certain demographic, now they come with reels. The thing is that with them is that they're gonna just keep trying to be creative enough to say, all right, well, they're doing that. Let's make our version. Let's make it better.
Yeah.
The thing that makes me optimistic long term is that their user base is so, they have over 3.2 billion.
How many of them are real?
That part we.
Now, when people go look at the numbers are there. So when I say, what do your research? They don't read.
What the report says, what they report is 3.2 billion.
They definitely have a lot of real users, and I would almost put my life on it to say the majority of people that's watching this show right now use Instagram way more than they use TikTok.
For the current time. Yeah. And everybody said options last year was better than Apple. And where's that money at? I'm talking about the future. Mike, clip this up. I can't wait to be right about this one.
I'm not saying that.
This is for entertainment. We ain't getting
it. Yeah, I'm not saying that TikTok's here to stay. That's why follow our TikTok. TikTok's here to stay.
And now IG. Right.
Well, no, you got to follow IG.
There's a million people over there.
Follow the IG. Shout out to IG.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the ELU. But I'm saying,
we're going to grow that to 10 million.
The average time that people are spending on TikTok is 45 minutes. It's not that on IG. And let's do this. Let's put up a post. Which one is more popular? And everybody wipe out all the bots and see what the ratio is of comments to follower count. And go do the same thing on TikTok.
You think the usage time is higher on TikTok?
Way higher.
I don't know, bro.
Instagram is a drug that nobody can get off of. You got to remember, Instagram is a drug classified.
Per user?
Speaking.
Shout out to Brian. And shout out to all the good people. Shout out to all the good people.
Everybody at Facebook. Love y'all.
Let's get back to Michael.
We got a meeting. Yo, B, it's all love, bro. Shout out to the team over there.
But also, when you have... I'll give the perfect analogy. I love 50 Cent. 50, one of my favorite artists of all time. And he always, yo, I tore down Murder, Inc. because of their issues. The government tore down Murder, Inc. And it's the same thing that's going to happen with Facebook. It won't just be TikTok. It's going to be the government on top of the hedge funds that don't like them, on top of the hedge funds that are shorting them right now. And damn near everybody in tech hates Facebook. I'm going to be real. B is damn near the only person I know to work at Facebook that claims it.
But here's the thing. Every time he's been in front of Congress, every time he's been in front of, they've come out unscathed, right? Even before the Meta, if you think back, right, to November, right before they announced the Meta name change, they were on a hot seat, right?
While all the servers shut down and all the records wiped off.
Right.
All right, we'll monitor this situation because we can go on. We can have a whole episode about this. Let's revisit this conversation in 6 months,
Mark,
and a year later. Ian's saying that it's dead. What's your saying? What are you saying?
It's not dead.
Six years is dead. If I've made you money, please put yes in chat. And here's the thing. When you guys are doing, audience, when you're analyzing the business, you can't go off what happened in the past. I was on Facebook in 05. I built my entire track record. And all my memories come off Facebook from 2008 through now. Love the company. Everyone that was pivotal in Facebook, they lost at some point. You have to be mindful as you're scaling. At some point, you can't make so many enemies. Some things we talked about behind the scenes, right? You can't make so many enemies that when you are at a downslide, now everyone piles on top of you. Apple made that ruling just for Facebook. It wasn't about consumer protection. It was about destroying Facebook. The same thing that we saw happen with Kathy, we're going to see the same thing happen with Facebook at scale. And everybody said I was a conspiracy theorist and said I was crazy. And here we are with Kathy.
Now, are we saying like Walking Dead dead or like Hurts dead? Like, what's dead?
Six years is over with. I'm telling you. But we're seeing a decline now. Like, yes. If I go look at the stock right now, it gapped down from, let me pull up Thinkorswim. And then for those of you who may not know me, I actually invest and trade for a living. So I'm not just saying this. The stock went from 316 down to 243. Penny stocks gap like that. A major top 20 tech. You guys put in chat, when's the last company that gapped down that much in one day? It does not fucking happen. It doesn't happen. All y'all talking on the internet, please show me any receipts of when you were investing prior to 2012. I know when True came out and True Religion, shout out Chains, I was investing then. Damn right, I'm about it. Come on, it's over with. It's entertainment, sponsored by Ally. Y'all see the comments.
I got you, Daxon.
Facebook.
Don't worry.
Dead, you saying not dead?
Not dead. I'm going to say not dead.
All right, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll say not dead.
We'll see what happens, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's talk about, I just want to talk about some brief financial planning thing real quick. I got a question the other day, and I figured like people might not know. So the difference between mutual funds, index funds, and ETFs.
It's a good question.
Yes. So we talk about ETFs a lot, index funds a lot. We haven't really spoke about mutual funds too much, but I'm just going to explain briefly, then I'll let you guys chime in as well if you want to talk about it. So a mutual fund is a managed portfolio of a variety of different stocks. So you, Franklin Diamond Tech Fund, FKDNX is the ticker. So it's kind of, it has a lot of technology stocks in it, like Google, Apple, Amazon. It's like 50% of the portfolio is in tech, but it has other areas as well. So a mutual fund is like usually managed by a company. So like Franklin Templeton for that fund, or Oppenheimer, or Fidelity, like these big institutions, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll have somebody that's actually managing the portfolio. It's actively managed. So they can move in and out of positions a lot more swiftly. We'll talk about what an index fund or ETF. The knock on mutual funds is that since it is actively managed, there are fees attached to it that the others don't have. So you have like a sales charge. So a sales charge is when you put money in. So depending on how much money you put in, a sales charge could be like up to like 5% upfront. So like, let's say you put in, you know, $1,000, 5% automatically off the rip goes to the company before the money starts investing. Then there's what's called 12B1 fees, where it's like an annual fee on an ongoing basis. So that's like the knock for people to say, don't invest in mutual funds, is that there's fees attached to it.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that, of course, every fund is not equal, right? Yeah.
And
there's
the,
like
and the
thousands.
Fees, the fees range too.
Yeah. So there's thousands of different mutual funds. So some mutual funds, depending on how good the portfolio has done, it actually may make sense. There's also what's called no load funds. It's like Vanguard. They have no load funds where like the sales charge, the load, they don't actually implement that. So it's a lot cheaper. So that's another alternative as well. But the main difference is that somebody's actually actively managing it. Then you have the index fund. Mm-hmm. So the index fund in episode 44, Wall Street Trapper, it's a legendary episode. Check it out. And I like his analogy that he gave when he was like, we talked about the ETFs and the index funds is the index fund is like buying a whole grocery store. Like you go into Costco's and you just get everything. Give me one of everything, right? Mm-hmm. And then you just have like a chip, you have a banana, you have a pineapple, just have a little bit of, you have everything, right? And so it's like the S&P 500, right? Standard & Poor's 500, where it's not every single stock on the stock market, but it's 500 stocks. And 500 stocks from all different areas, all different sectors. So the theory with the index fund is that it's the safest play because you're not picking one particular stock. You're not picking an industry. You're picking broad range stocks from all different industries. And, you know, as the S&P goes up, that means the stock market usually as a whole goes up because the S&P 500 is a microcosm of the stock market. As it goes down, then the stock market goes down. So that's why they say, like, people like Warren Buffett, like, just buy index funds, nothing else. Don't ever buy individual
two tech, two indexes. Easy.
And then ETF. So, and exchange traded funds. So how Ian talks about it, where he talks about the all-star team. Trap made a reference going back to the grocery store of aisle in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. So like in that grocery store, you have like the Mexican aisle, where what's wrong with that?
It's a Mexican aisle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never seen a Mexican source? Why did you say like, yeah, like they have tortilla, they have all Mexican type of food.
And maybe like nationality. It's like international. Food. International.
No.
Yeah.
No. Like this grocery store right here, they have different, depending on where you live. Obviously, right, okay. Where we live, it's a heavy Mexican population. So they have a Mexican aisle.
Yeah.
They have an Indian aisle, but just Indian food.
Okay.
And spices. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you said it like that was something.
Nah, because I'm trying to think like, where did I see that? But I'm used to seeing like international foods.
We live in a country that's.
Yeah. I'm not knocking it. No, there's
5% Hispanic.
I'm just saying it'll usually say like international. Keep going.
Don't do that.
Keep going. Like, somebody gonna take me pictures. It's a Mexican aisle. Like, nah, it's all good. Keep going.
Mexican. First of all, shout out to all the Mexicans out there. I love Mexican food. One of my favorite dishes ever. Thanks. So.
Well, I'm not saying anything.
So if you have a Mexican aisle, right, then that's a specific aisle just for that type of food, right? Or you have an ice cream aisle, or you have, you know, a dairy aisle, stuff like that. So now with the ETFs, you can get more specific. So it's like you have QQQ, which is a technology ETF,
mm-hmm.
right? Uh-huh. Or you have XLY, which is a consumer discretionary ETF, mm-hmm. right? Or XLF, which is a financial, which is financial companies. So this allows you to invest. Now, the difference between that and the mutual funds is that they're not actively managed in the same way that the mutual uh-huh. funds are actively managed. So the fees and the cost are lower,
mm-hmm.
but they do have flexibility to make changes over the course of time. It's just not as actively managed as a mutual fund.
Right.
So that's like a 5-minute tutorial on how to invest. That's like all of those are passive ways to invest where mm-hmm. you're not actually investing the money yourself, right? Somebody else is investing it for you, whether it's with the S&P 500, whether it's with the ETFs, whether it's with the mutual funds. This is a way for especially, you know, people that are not confident picking stocks themselves. And most of the time, most people are familiar with this type of situation through their 401ks. Because if you have a 401k, it's usually being managed by a mutual fund company. Fidelity manages a lot of 401ks. And in that, they'll have like Fidelity Large Cap, Fidelity Small Cap, Fidelity International. So you might be familiar with the idea from the 401k, but you can also invest in that passive way of investing. Like through brokerage apps, things of that nature.
Yeah. I know people gonna ask which ones, VOO and VTI are two.
I know he's gonna say those.
Yeah.
Just play it safe, though. Yeah, I think that's perfect. The way you just broke it down is perfect. I mean, even with the ETFs, like that asset allocation about being able to manage. And some of the ETFs it might be every 6 months, they'll reassess, or it might be every year that they'll reassess. Uh-huh. But pay attention to those things, right? Because if the ETF that you're invested in is changing percentages of the company, right? Usually that means a company potentially has an upside that they've seen, right? So like when we started and NVIDIA inside of SMH wasn't in the top three, if you look now, it definitely is, right? So you just watch those, right? It's moved up because obviously the growth is split. They see the forward trajectory of the company. So pay attention to those things.
And it'll end. Go ahead, Ian.
And then you're going to see real shortly, boy, they're going to get moved down. You know, like if I play, like if we had a team, right, and I had 14 air balls, I'm going to get put on the bench. Boy, watch our Facebook slide down some of these index funds on the allocation list.
But that's a valuable lesson to it. And so like when the S&P like drops 2%, right, and in the same day, Facebook drops 26%. This is the like when we're telling you.
Well, and that's the thing.
Just
even with
be
the,
safe
with the ETFs too. And this is why I don't like investing in individual stocks, because it's issues like Facebook, safety. Where it's like, all right, QQQ. Facebook is in QQQ. Facebook is also obviously, you know, a standalone stock. So when Facebook fell 25% in one day, QQQ might have fell like maybe 3%. Right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's buffered because like Facebook, I don't know how, I think it makes up like 8% of the portfolio. So of course, when it skyrockets, you're not going to get that same momentum on the upside, but on the downside, it's a more controlled situation because one company is not going to drag down the whole entire portfolio. At least if it's a good ETF.
So if you guys invest in the top five stocks, please write this down. You'll be safe. Like when you start to go through 15 through 40, you have a little bit more risk. The top five are there for a reason. Facebook was not in the top five.
Yeah. 3%, 3.7% inside of QQQ. But that's, I mean, safety, right? 26% on a day. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. For a product nobody loves. I've never heard anybody in the last 5 years be like, man, I just love being on Facebook. Under 60.
No. We can't do that. People love Instagram. When Instagram shut down, people start crying. You was there.
Yeah.
I was crying.
I seen people crying. I seen girls crying. I seen men panicking.
But because their business model is messed up. Now you gotta go sell OnlyFans.
They don't even got no business. They don't even have a business though. They just on it just cause they addicted to it. The first thing you do, that Charleston White interview on Big Facts is arguably top five podcasts ever recorded.
Yeah. Good interview. Charleston White, incredible.
It's a great interview.
That's a legend.
Yeah.
Great
interview.
That's legend.
Shout out to the Big Facts team.
Shout out to Big Facts. Yeah. He said a lot of truth in there. You wake up, the average person is looking at their phone. Before you say your prayer, before you meditate, before you to see if your son is okay,
mm-hmm.
the first thing you do is look at Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing.
It's dangerous.
It's the world that it's we so live dangerous. In. It's very dangerous.
It's called addiction.
Yeah, that's why I told him, like, if you call me after 10, good luck on me answering, bro. My phone doesn't stay in my room. I can't.
Yep.
I can't. Yep. Not with this guy's hours.
God bless the internet. Joe Rogan. This has been a
spoke about this a little bit last week. Yep.
It's actually spiraling. It's spiraling. Yeah, it started off as one thing. Now it's turned into a whole other thing.
Yeah.
He had to put a 5-minute apology. I couldn't watch the whole thing. It was kind of long.
The second apology.
I just saw the one he put on Instagram. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Last week it was about
Corona.
The Corona.
But then the guest. N-word situation.
And they put they made a whole video, a collage.
This is becoming a big thing. So, okay, what are our thoughts on Joe Rogan controversy and top three lessons for content creators?
You guys want to start or you want me to go?
I feel like, you know, I feel like this is up your wheelhouse. So,
we talked about it via text, but the number one lesson, you have to be mindful of what you say, because as you grow, the things that you say, if they're damaging, will be used to destroy you. Number two, that's a big lesson that my dad has taught me, and we've chimed in on it personally. You have to be very careful who you attack, because when you attack someone, and Charlamagne says it all the time, you're not responsible for how they reply to you, right? So when he went off on Sanjay Gupta and NBC and CNN, and they don't know, and also Joe's the biggest podcast platform we have, he didn't factor in what happens when they then coordinate their attack. I cannot prove it, but in my heart of hearts, I was telling Corey this. I'm like, I feel like CNN, NBC, Apple, SoundCloud, and all the music distribution services are now going to attack them to drive down the value of Spotify to make him either leave, and then now we can tear apart Spotify or get him out of that space so no one person has that kind of power ever again. And then number three, as far as I love his podcast. I love his format, the clips, but I heard the apology. For us, I want to say we have to stop being upset at the potential of somebody being racist towards us if they're not Black. Mm-hmm. We should almost at this point expect it. And I get the apology, and he was trying to give context around why, but in the era that we live in and him being in Hollywood for so long, you have to know what you're doing and what you're saying. But most importantly, whether he leaves Spotify or makes another entity, he'll be safe. But the third lesson I want all creators to take into consideration is build a platform that is so powerful that you cannot be canceled. And I know it's tough to think about and do, but as I'm seeing more Black creators put out content, the thing is, I want you to have value that no one else is able to give. And we do this with Market Mondays, and they do it with EYL. Amazing episode coming out with Change Tuesday. So please tap in and watch that. But you have to build something that is almost indestructible, because anytime you're climbing up a mountain, you guys have seen it on a smaller scale happen with us. People, they really don't know. And who does he think he is? And, you know, you have to build a platform in which you help so many people that you cannot be destroyed by anybody.
But even that's another thing that Charleston White said, was like being his whole thing was, I'm going to be the bad guy, because being a good guy, all they're going to do is tear you down. They're going to root for you to the point, and then they're going to tear you down. And he was like, he's seen it happen time and time again, where, you know, this is the good guy, we love him, until America, only thing America loves more than an underdog story is to see a fall from grace. Britney Spears, it's entertainment. Yes. It's entertainment.
She's a prime example. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. My thing was like, he's been doing podcasts for 12 years, right? Up until this $100 million deal, they weren't paying attention to these things. Like every clip is from the past. And so my thing is like, cool. They're like, well, there's a freedom of speech thing here. I'm like, well, okay, if that's your stance, we're going to stand by him. That's the CEO stance. And his thing was like, well, now we're going to put $100 million to disadvantaged communities, $100 million into podcasting. I'm like, well,
$100 million.
Is that the answer?
I was going to, you know what? One rule. All right, this is something to think about. This is something to think about. This is just life in general, right? This is how I was raised. Is before you say anything, think about it five times. Think about it five times before you say anything, because what you say can and will be used against you. Mm-hmm. Like they used to say in the court of law, now it's in the court of public opinion. And fact. The thing with the internet is that nothing ever goes away. Nothing ever gets erased completely, no matter what. So you could have said something 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 5 months ago, and now you're in a whole different, you know, wave. You're in a whole different, you know, way of thinking. But that what you said, somebody has that. And when the time is right, they're going to either try to extort you or they're going to use it against you to tear you down. So be extremely mindful, and that's easier said than done, because it's like we talk for a living. So it's
Black and Unlimited is a celebration of being whatever we want to be. Black and Unlimited is being Black and rock and roll and country singer, Black and outdoor adventurer and vegan, Black and cosplay fan and comic book lover and cowboy too. And for who we are and anything else we want to explore, there's Walmart. We can pick up a yoga mat to be Black and Zen, the ingredients we need to be Black and vegan, or a skateboard to be Black and rad and fearless. Black and Unlimited is being Black and a music connoisseur. When it's time to add to my vinyl collection, I can always count on Walmart to have the latest and greatest. Celebrate all you are. Celebrate being Black and Unlimited. Feel free and inspired to explore anything and everything that could bring you joy.
It's easy if you're talking for 10 hours. It's easy to. I'm not making an excuse for him. I'm just saying, just in general. Mm-hmm. If you're talking for 10 hours, it's easy to say something that you might not should have said.
Yeah.
But
or misspeak.
Yeah. Be extremely mindful of what you say. Our personal philosophy with EYL from the beginning was nothing controversial, because we understand that we are already up against an uphill battle already. Like we fight an uphill battle. We Black. So we don't necessarily need to be put in other things that is not our mission statement. Our mission statement is financial literacy, helping people in business, finances, investing, things of that nature. There's other people to fight different battles. Everybody's got a different battle to fight. That's not our battles to fight. Nothing controversial. Once you start to fall into that world of controversy, just be prepared for it. Because ultimately you're on other people's platforms 99% of the time, right? So when they pull the rug from under you, or when you no longer have funding, and 9 times out of 10, your core supporters are not going to support you
at all.
Shout out to Reza Islam.
Yeah.
Have you seen him? I mean, he's on Big Facts. Shout out to Revolt for letting him come on. But I mean, have you seen him?
Yeah. But think about the contrast.
No,
right?
Seriously.
We haven't seen him. I'm saying just think about the contrast, right? Even with Reza Islam, even when Kevin Hart has some things he said in his past in comedy, and now he was trying to host the Oscars and like, now you can't host it, right? My thing was like, the CEO, regardless of all the things he said, I mean, he might have disagreed with it, but he's like, yo, I'm standing with him.
Of course they're going to stand with him.
Cash cow.
He was talking about Black people, bro. Like,
this is what I'm saying. So like, we can't, like, let's not disguise that. Like, yo, it's going to be a lot different if we say something versus.
But that's why I said we are.
But we
got to
make people, they got to be aware of it.
But here's the thing. If we stand together, and that's what, you know, we have these conversations privately offline, and I have other people. If we stand together, we can shake the room. Like, that's why I put on your, even with the Chanel thing, the value of Chanel bags are going up even more, and we're buying them, but they won't do anything for us. Why? Because if you give your money or your vote away, they have no incentive to take care of you. So if we saw it when that stuff happened with Joe Button at Spotify, when everyone didn't leave there, that was a sign like, yo, they don't give a fuck about the artists they say they care about. We saw Britney get destroyed for 5 or 6 years and nobody cared. And we have this is the part about discipline that matters so much to me. If we can't stand up for ourselves collectively, every company is going to use us. Even with the Gucci thing back in the day, they will put caricatures on clothes of us from the Sambo era and all that, like blackface. And when I go to the Galleria, the Gucci and Louis lines are the longest in the mall.
Yeah.
So we are going to get treated like shit until we take a stand and say, hey, as soon as someone says something, we're going to boycott you immediately for 5 years, no matter what happens. No apology can fix that. Because in the Jewish community, if you say something, oh, baby, they're over with. That day, they're getting on you. So that's the reason why no company treats us with the respect that we should have.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'll say this to wrap up too. Even on the controversy point, Hit 'Em Up may be the only diss record that actually made money and was beneficial for the artist. Who Shot You was a street record, but look at all the
Ether.
But the, maybe
Drake,
two.
Drake song too.
Yeah.
Back to back. Okay, so three out of 3,000. Controversy does not make money.
Controversy. Controversy can make money, but it's dangerous.
The downside risk is so high.
It's not worth.
It's dangerous because you could, because even with the Tupac and Biggie thing, it worked out, but they both died. Biggie never really dissed Pac like that publicly, but that energy that Pac was bringing, ultimately,
that Apollo thing he did, it just didn't come out. Big was going crazy at Apollo.
There was Lil C's getting an interview. Yeah, they had a record.
It was
going to be on Busta Rhymes' album, but Busta said, "I can't put this out, you my friend."
But even that was a subliminal. He said straight to him. He said, "Skinny dude." He said, "I heard what Lil."
Well, we're gonna skip that.
Let's talk about that.
There's no money in controversy. The upside, the downside risk, and the legal cost. Too high. That's why, like, even if you see the stuff with how Alex Jones, RZA Islam, Minister Farrakhan, they're using that same blueprint on Joe Rogan. And it may not work this time, but they're using a, and we have to be very mindful, because if you can't say anything on your own platform, and even with the COVID stuff, I listened to all those interviews they were talking about with those people. They were not salacious. The one with Robert Malone was not crazy. He's not talking out of turn. He was not being disrespectful or like a conspiracy theorist, but it's like anytime you go against the establishment of what is, gotta be mindful.
Sometimes you gotta just leave things alone.
So all the episodes that were in question have been pulled down, and they said they're disappointed 100%.
How you feel about Spotify stock? Last thing to talk about with this.
They're dying too. The kid, the dog, everybody dying, no lying. Hey, Daniel, you need to do something. You need to make some calls, because we got a group of people who will be loyal supporters, but we need equity. You're not going to do me how y'all did, Joe. Shout out, Joe.
Rogan or Joe Budden?
Budden.
Okay. Their core business is now, so people are pulling their music off the platform. Now their core business is podcasting. And so they had 3.2, in 2019, they had 600,000 podcast creators. Last year, that number went up to 3.5 million, and they're projecting 50 million by 2025.
Podcast shows?
Yeah. And so I was watching CNBC, and they're like, well, how are they making money in podcasts?
Look at Shotty face. What are you saying is most y'all garbage. Keep it 1,000. And this is what I
100 million y'all was talking about?
Yo, this is what I'll tell y'all about equity and perpetuity. If I bring y'all 125,000 people who didn't pay $20 a month, what is that worth? No, you're not giving the brand up. And that's why I keep telling y'all, build a business first, then go do a deal. You don't need a deal. If you're the equity, I'm the equity. They're the equity. But what do I know? Daniel, make that phone call though. But you coming with some equity off top. And you can have these kind of conversations when you're free. Oh, this is B school. y'all took the boy Button over there and let him run y'all numbers up, and then they want to pay him on the back end. Yo. This industry shit is crazy. Shout out Marvin. I'm like, how do y'all deal with this robbery? Boy, I'm Tupac and Lucian and one. Daniel, make the call. You're coming with some equity though. And we'll build some. Oh, but if there's a service that builds a DSP for artists and they give them 50% of the royalties that come from their streams, boy, y'all can set the world on fire. And I cannot wait to see it. I cannot wait.
We're going to monitor this closely.
Spotify, stay tuned. Stay tuned. Hey. Still in a meeting.
Dean guy, is he really like that in person, or is that just entertainment?
Lord
just
is entertainment.
Yeah. All right. The one tip I use that you use to not panic about the market over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I want to share this with you guys. At the end of every Friday, get you a notebook, old school, or you can do it in Google Docs. But literally write if the market ended up for the week or ended down. So when everyone was panicking last week, and this is the thing that I love about memories and going through my notebook, the same headlines and fears that people had about last week was the same headline from the year prior. So they're stoking all of this energy. And when you understand what the cycles are in the market and when the funds are actually buying, the funds really buy really heavy in March, really. And we talked about that before, I think, on episode 23 of Market Mondays, right? But every February, there is a lull when the market slows down and we have these deep dips. And then midweek, I told you we was going to fall Tuesday and Wednesdays. Those are your ideal times to buy. And then we went ended up the week strong because Monday and Fridays are the heaviest buying days. Also, if you buy at the end of the day, you'll be able to get higher alpha on your portfolio than if you buy at the beginning of the day. So literally the tip is I want you to every Friday, right, if the week ended up positive for the week or negative. And when you flip back year by year, you'll be able to see, okay, March, it typically does this, February does this, and you can know week by week what to expect out of the market for the overall S&P 500. And that way you won't have to panic.
Yeah,
that's a fact. That's a fact.
There you go.
I actually did that.
Anything you want to say about that?
Oh, no, I was going to say, I actually did that. We saw that there was earnings last week. And that was one of those things, man, when you see the market trending in a downward, it on the other side, it's like, wait, there's so many opportunities that you got to be disciplined to say, all right,
yeah,
I know this is a good opportunity, but I was focused over here. And so like what I was just doing last week was just trying to block out that noise of saying like, there's so many opportunities. But which ones were I focused in on? What did I write down in December and said, like, yo, this is going to be my targets for 2022? And so Google was one of those targets. And I was just like, you know what? This is going to be a great time. I seen a great pullback. I knew that they were going to be reporting earnings. I went to estimize.com just to see what the projections that Wall Street was saying for their earnings. And at 3:30, I believe Wednesday, I was like, all right, I'm going to invest right now. Boom, did it. Obviously we saw what happened. They destroyed their earnings and the stock went up, but they also announced a 21 split at the same time.
And Amazon.
I'm getting there.
Amazon announced a split, not Google.
Google
announced a split.
No, Amazon didn't.
Google,
20-1. Yeah, 21. So yeah. People always, and so like a lot, I know there's a lot of new people here. So just going over what a split is, right? I always tell people like this, right? If I gave you five singles, or if I gave you a $5 bill, do you have the same amount of money? And most people will say yes. And I'm like, well, technically that's what a split is, right? There was one that was five and now you have five singles. And so if you had one share of Google after July or after August, that one share is now turned into 20. But what happens is that the stock price gets cut down by a 20th, right? So you divide whatever it is by 20. I think it's over 3,000. So we're bringing it down to like it's maybe like around 20,
it's 2,700 range, like almost 2,800.
Yeah, so each share probably be in that 120 to 135 range.
It's
a steal at that price, right? As opposed to when I'm looking at it as a retail investor. Now I'm like, listen, it's 2,700, it's 2,800. That's not affordable for me right now. I have to buy a fractional share. Now you don't have to, right? In July or August, whenever the split goes through, now you can buy a share at $127. So it becomes even more of an incentive to say, all right, this is Google, right? We know what they're doing with YouTube, right? The number, and this is like breaking news alert, number two in advertising in 2021. You know who number one was? Who passed them? Amazon. Mm-hmm. Amazon did $31 billion in the advertising business. YouTube, Google did about $29 billion. So that was like crazy stat that I saw. But now it's an incentive to buy. People are going to load in and buy shares, and because it makes sense, right? We know the strength of this company. We know the long-term vision of it. We spoke about YouTube plenty of times. So
yeah, let's talk about
got into that.
Amazon. I said Amazon because Amazon was on my mind. I want to talk about Amazon, but Google, let's not just breeze over this because this is the first time that we've actually got to speak about the stock split. I think it was announced last Wednesday or middle.
Yeah, right after the close.
So, all right, the stock split situation is interesting for a few different reasons. Google, a lot of people, you know, once a stock gets to a certain point, it becomes unattractive for retail investors.
Mm-hmm.
Psychologically, people look at something like, damn, I got to pay $2,000 for just one share.
But they bought a Chanel bag. or Gucci. True. Shout out to, if I see you at the network party with Gucci or Louis on, don't want to hear it. But Rashad's about to make a good point. Back to you, my brother.
So you know, by lowering, so now $100, Apple has split a lot of different times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is why I was bringing up the Amazon thing. So now Amazon is the last big tech company that has not split, that has a stock price, you know, up there, over $3,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So now there's no concrete evidence of this, but there's speculation that Amazon may split.
Yep. Yep.
Which that kind of drove Amazon stock price up as well.
Yeah.
Amazon was your company of the year.
Yes, still is.
So Google, how do you think Google's stock split will affect, if it will have any effect at all, on Amazon stock price?
Yeah, I think if we look at just the past history, the past 2 years of the companies that have split, we can just get a fair indication, right? A lot of retail investors have entered the market since March 2020. We saw it happen with Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Price ran up, right? As soon as it split, we saw a pullback.
Tesla.
They both did it at the same time, right? And then we also saw it with NVIDIA. And so
Google stock will rise.
This is true.
Y'all is going to the moon.
No.
It's going to be what y'all thought Doge was.
Yeah. So this is true, which is why, like, when I made the investment, I'm like, oh, this is perfect time. And then when I heard the split, I'm like, yo, this, I mean, I couldn't have had better time than this, right? There's no way to time it, but, you know, just focusing in and knowing that, look, in 2021, this was the leader in all the FANG stocks. Like, they had an incredible year in growth, right?
Mm-hmm. So I'm Amazon, like, or Google?
Google did.
Amazon. Google.
Google, yeah. Amazon Google, had the worst. Why you keep rubbing that in, man?
I get confused with the two, man. They
I'm not, man. My portfolio is not confused.
Yeah. I mean, with Amazon, the split, I think Google is going to put a little bit of pressure on. Because like you said, it's Amazon, the last of a dying breed to have a price that high. Amazon's been in the retirement picks and stock club forever.
Yeah.
So when everyone's like, yo, I don't know, I'm like, hold on. Because now when they split, you're going to have even more shares. Some of you are going to ask, should I buy before or after? Answer is always both. It's a top five company. Great. And from a distribution standpoint, stickiness standpoint, like, Amazon's one of the greatest companies ever. Google probably has the best ad business ever. The two behemoths. And when we did the safest stocks maybe 5 or 6 months ago, Google was already in there. So you'll be good. Hold these 2, 4, or 5 years. You guys will be good.
Yeah. Think about last week, what happened. Like, literally, Google reported Tuesday, market went up. Facebook reported Wednesday, market tanked.
Down.
Thursday, Amazon reported, blew out their earnings. Like I said, the growth in the revenue, obviously, AWS grew. They made $11 billion off the Rivian investment on the, like, quietly.
I'm going to be real. AWS is probably homework for you guys. What is the value of AWS and what is the market cap of Facebook right now? Be surprised. Okay. If you had to pick AWS, if it was publicly traded, would you pick that or Facebook? This is the real versus, right? Apple or Facebook, Google or Facebook, AMD or Facebook, Amazon or Facebook, but it's supposed to be top five, dead or alive, it's just dead.
Yeah.
So I know
that, and also, so Amazon on Friday, right? Then there's speculation that they were going to acquire Peloton, which drew Peloton,
Nike, and
Amazon were the leaders in that. And just the rumor of that was enough to raise Peloton stock, which is interesting, right? And people are like, well, why Peloton? Well, they have 3 million subscribers. Peloton, obviously, the stock is going down. I think the market cap is like 8 or 9 billion. Let's say they sell it for double
eight
that.
Or 9 billion. Wow.
Yeah, right. Let's say they sell it for 15 or something like that. You mix those 3 billion active users, right, and make that a part of Amazon Prime, which has over 250 million users,
and that put that part of your membership.
Who, like, what health and fitness company can compete with that? They're starting with 260 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. That's why I think the acquisition, and we've seen it with Amazon, they'll acquire something to dominate a space, right? And so, like, Apple has been quiet about it, and I know people are like, oh, it doesn't make sense, but it does make sense, because if you can take it from that competitor that is Amazon, and now you have the Apple Watch that can now link to that bike or that hardware company and the hardware piece that you need.
What makes Peloton special, though?
I got the best line. You had a spark when you started, but now you just garbage.
But it's special for a company that needs that hardware device and health and fitness.
What hardware device are you referring to?
The treadmill.
You can't build a treadmill? Apple can't build a treadmill?
Mm-hmm. Apple's not going to buy Peloton.
What proprietary I don't have a Peloton. I'm actually honestly asking a question. Yeah, so, to me, it's a stationary bike with a iPad on it, it tracks your movements.
It's a classes.
So it's a community. It's more than just a bike. It's a community. And so if you had a bike, I had a bike, Ian had a bike, we could be doing this workout at the same time. And so the community becomes a bigger thing. Now we have time. Now we can race against each other. Now they added a fitness component where you can actually turn the screen and work out off the bike. They have workout programs, but you still need the app to do it, right? Or you need to be on an app to do it. So if you combine those two, right? If I don't need the app, and that was just a part of Apple Fitness.
Well, let me ask you, I'll say this.
That's a hell of a user base.
Maybe for Nike or Amazon, that might make sense. Yeah, but Apple already has a community. Anything Apple does is a community. If they say, we're going to do this I fitness.
The health and fitness community right now?
But that's easy to just, they already have a cult. They have Apple as a
cult.
I'm saying that component, right? The health and fitness component. But that's just a device and there's no way to sync that with what you're doing, right? Like my watch doesn't say what you're doing. Whereas in this community,
can we be honest though?
Yeah, go ahead.
Health, any business in which you're relying upon people to actively do something every day is the wrong business to be in. It's not fun to say because we're consumer facing ourselves, but if I have to rely on a person doing anything every day, I'm not betting on that business.
Unless it's like food or beverage.
But what about YouTube?
YouTube
and Google. They're relying on people to watch every day.
It's not, exercise.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying the thesis of relying on people. They're relying on people to watch.
To actively do anything? Okay, you guys put in chat. If you work out 7 days a week, please put yes in chat. If you have sex 7 days a week, put yes in chat. That's end of discussion. We're not gonna put I want to be a great investor. How did you pick the name Master Investor? Dog, I haven't missed a day since 2010. Then y'all say, how you know all this stuff, bro? Reading. I want to pop bottles too. But when y'all are out at the club at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm doing this. No. You don't put in the work. Shoddy, if you have to run a podcast with 10 other people, out of them 10, how many do you know will actually put out the content without you having to tell them to put it out? None. That offended me that you told me. Hey, man, what are we talking about? Man. Anyway.
Can we go back to the analogy?
You got to be consistent, but yeah, go ahead. This is entertainment.
This is just entertainment.
There's no fitness brand that. What's the strongest fitness brand?
Probably, maybe Planet Fitness. To be honest,
is it a brand? I mean, company. Yeah, is it a brand?
There's no. It's not a good business model. That's why gyms close all the time.
Yeah,
people are lazy, especially in America.
Lazy as hell.
They're not disciplined. Mm-hmm. They're not consistent. They fall off the wagon. They don't want to pay. It's least on the totem pole as far as their responsibilities.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm. It's not. Think about it. No gym has, in the last 30 years, has reached a level where it's like iconic level. None. Not one. Not one.
I mean, that's tough. Well, Gold's Gym, you probably say, was the last one?
It's not iconic.
I'm saying at one point.
It was the iconic 80s and 90s. But that was really because of Arnold. Which he didn't get enough equity in that. He got mad at that. And, you know,
you've had waves. Beachbody, when they had P90X and RT.
They're not publicly traded, though.
But I'm just saying that was a wave. When was the last time you heard somebody do P90X or Sean T's workout?
I just seen a commercial for that. But that's besides the point. But my thing is, like, so Peloton is a community.
A wave.
Is a
wave.
We'll see. We'll see.
Just like P90X was a wave.
We'll see. Because the thing is, right, like, if there's rumors of these companies acquiring them, then there must be some value in what they're seeing.
Yeah, the value is a drop of 80%. If I can raise
on the company side, but I'm saying to acquire it, you don't have to acquire it. They don't have
to. We'll see. Yeah. But keep in mind, it's still a rumor, though.
Yeah, it's still a rumor.
We'll see.
Peloton's
dead, though.
By the way,
as Under Armour.
The one big mistake that you see 90% of investors making in this market.
I hate to stress it. Shadi did a great breakdown of mutual funds versus indexes versus ETFs. I'm still seeing you guys focus on too many because you're watching, taking in too many insights, talking to too many people. Whatever your plan is, please keep it incredibly simple. Now, I'll study every market. So I want you guys to go look at the Bovespa. I want you to look at the European market. Go look at the Australian market, the Indian stock market. Great. Because you'll be able to see a whole bunch of correlations, right? But in your actual portfolio, you really need to focus on 4 to 6 things. Like, I'm seeing so many of you being like, I tried to do binary options and regular options and futures, and I want to do angel investing, and I want to build a business, and I got a food truck, and I sell weed on the side. None of them are working. And it's like, Apple, you like, but I want to hear something else. I'm tired of you talking about Apple. I'm like, it's a printing press. That's why. Like, I know it's a machine. If I put $1 in, I'm going to get $5 back in 5 years on the low end. And then every business that you guys love, they're going to come and attack. They are the cartel. And in the 1980s, it was IBM. In the 70s and 60s, it was U.S. Steel. And if you were at InvestFest, I told you, like, usually a company has a stranglehold on a market for 10 years. If they're dominant, they'll have it for 30. Apple's coming up. I'm getting to that 30-year mark. Like, please squeeze the juice out of that orange. So only focus on 4 to 6 things and you're good. And for you business owners, same thing. I'm seeing you trying to create too many different businesses. Like, when they say 7 streams of income and it's really 20, you need 28 really, it's not in different businesses. Like, you don't need to try and run a hospital and sell shoes on StockX and, you know, sell parts to a cameras. Like, you got to streamline your business and automate as much as you can, then you'll be good. Because if you have 15 things in your portfolio, I haven't seen many people have 15 to 20 things in their portfolio and they ended up profitable. It's damn near impossible.
Yeah, that's so. I think that's one of the biggest lessons. It's like, when, like I said, when everything's on sale, do you buy the entire store? No, you focus on what you came to buy. Mm-hmm. And you just got it at a better price, I think. And even with me, like, it's something I'm dealing with. Like, I'm like, there's so many opportunities. Yeah,
do you it's always a struggle because now, like, you have capital to play with now, and actually losing it won't hurt. But you got to focus on trying.
Just focus, trust me, yo. It's a real thing. Like, all right, there's this opportunity. There's this opportunity. Like, I might send them a text. Like, I know you don't like it, but there's an opportunity here. And sometimes I'm just like, all right, just gotta let it go. Just let it go. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Stick to what you said you was gonna do.
Yeah.
One last thing. I just doing one more financial planning thing that I get asked a lot about in my financial planning calls all the time. So, yes, you can invest in the stock market through life insurance, but be careful. So we'll talk about two ways how you can invest in the stock market through life insurance policies, VUL, variable universal life policy. So how that works is that you have money, you pay a premium. And a portion of the premium actually goes to sub accounts, very similar to like how 401ks are set up. Like, you'll get like 20 or 30 different sub accounts that you get to actually invest in. So the sub accounts could be like international funds, large cap funds, growth funds, all kinds of stuff from all different fund managers. So Oppenheimer might have a fund in it. Fidelity might have a fund in it. And as the stock market or whatever you're invested in, whatever fund you're invested in, if it goes up, then your sub account, your money actually inside of the policy goes up. If it goes down, then your money inside the policy goes down as well. So that part is pretty straightforward. And usually it's an increasing death benefit. So the death benefit actually increases over the course of time as the cash value increases as well. When you take money from it, then that decreases the cash value and it decreases the death benefit. And then there's another way.
Earners, what's going on? If you're looking for an adventure with the family, NerdWallet can help you take the first step towards making your dream a reality. Start earning points toward a much-deserved trip by using NerdWallet to compare and find credit cards that pack big travel rewards. Because why not turn everyday purchases into an unforgettable experience? And maybe that vacation made you realize you're ready for a place with a bit more space. NerdWallet can help you compare rates to find the smartest mortgage lender for you. And now that you're feeling settled in your new home, wouldn't it be nice to spend less time watching your investments and more time with family? NerdWallet can help you compare and find financial advisors to take the lead on expanding your portfolio while you take the lead on fort building. Whatever you're dreaming of, NerdWallet makes it easy to compare the smartest financial products side by side. Compare and find the smartest financial products for you on NerdWallet. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539. NerdWallet is not an investment advisor nor an investment broker. Information is for educational purposes only.
Which is called an IUL, an index universal life policy. So we talked about, so it's tying it all in here, right? So we talked about indexes earlier. So with the IUL, you can invest in an index inside a life insurance policy, and it usually has a floor and a ceiling. So it's like a 0% floor and a cap of 12%, meaning if you're in an S&P 500, if you're investing in the S&P 500 and the S&P 500 does negative 10%, then you will get 0% for that year. Like, you can't lose money on it. But if it goes up 25%, if it goes up 25%, then you cap out at 12%. So it's like bowling with the lanes up where you're in a range, right? So both of those policies can be beneficial because it's a way to actually, like I said, you have stock market exposure inside of a life insurance policy. But the thing with universal life policies is that you just have to be careful because they're very flexible. Like, premiums are flexible. Once you have money inside the policy, technically you don't even have to make a premium payment. But what happens is that there's a thing called cost of insurance, and the cost of insurance goes up every year. So if there's not enough premium that's coming in, then that cost of insurance will be taken out of the cash value. And over the course of time, if that happens and there's not enough cash value in the policy to support the policy, now you're going to have to make a lump sum premium payment, or your premiums will go up substantially. I saw this a lot with policies. Like, when I first got into the industry years ago, I was taking over a lot of policies that was like written in like the late 80s, early 90s, universal life policies, and they wasn't funded properly. And they were all like about to collapse. And I would have to call the people and like, hey, you've had this policy for 25 years and, you know, you're about to lose your policy. And they're like, what? They're like cursing me out. I'm like, I don't have nothing to do with it. It's not, I didn't sell you the policy. So be mindful and be educated when dealing with these type of life insurance policies, because they do have upside and they can, you know, be a double-edged sword because it's a form of investing and you have a death benefit attached to it as well. But rule of thumb, whenever you have these type of policies, you want to overfund the policy. Now, that might sound crazy, and we can have a more advanced conversation about this later on, but you have a target premium. So like, let's say the premium is $1,000 a month. You want to try to put $3,000 a month in, because now what you're doing is actually overfunding the policy, because the government does not tax life insurance up to a certain point. So it's called a MEC, modified endowment contract. When you put too much money into it, because at that point, what happened is that the government, a long time ago, the life insurance lobby is extremely strong. So the life insurance is one of the few vehicles that's tax-free all across the board. You can get the money out tax-free and the death benefit is tax-free. Wealthy people realize that and they say, okay, this is a way to just put millions of dollars into a life insurance policy and overfund it. So they actually came up with a cap, and you can only put a certain amount in. That's the modified endowment. After that point, it becomes a modified endowment contract, and now it becomes taxable. So whenever you're dealing with a life insurance policy, if you're dealing with these type of policies, actually, this is a cheat code for anybody that's looking to get life insurance, universal life insurance. Ask your agent, what is the MEC on this? Like, what's the MEC limit? And fund it up to the MEC limit. They're not, 9 times out of 10, they'll never tell you that, because you don't get commissions up to that point. But it is good to know, because now that's like the most money that you can put in. And then by overfunding it, now you actually have more money that's working for you and more money that you can pull out later on. So
that's a super gem. I hadn't anybody talk about that. Mike, clip that one. Steal.
Yes. Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Double bomb upon your head top.
Yes. Be mindful.
Be mindful. Facebook has given up more than half of their value over the last 5 years in these last 4 months for my statisticians out there.
Shout out to the statistician.
Be mindful.
Yo, real quick, can we do this earnings report? Yes, yeah, let's do our earnings real quick. All right, so tomorrow we spoke about Peloton. They're going to be reporting, which is interesting. Chipotle will be reporting, and Lyft. Lyft will be reporting as well. On Wednesday, we got Uber. You know, one of my favorite companies, Disney, will be reporting as well. Twilio is a company we spoke about. And then Thursday, we got Twitter, Affirm, Datadog, Zillow. We spoke about that. Coke and Pepsi will be reporting. And AstraZeneca for those who are in that biotech space. And then last week, man, we saw Snap. We didn't speak about it, but we saw Snap, a company that had been tanking, man. They finally made a profit.
Yes, they did.
They finally made a profit.
Yeah.
So I remember, the third episode we ever did? Third episode in 2019, they hadn't made a profit. 3 years later, they've made their first profit. So congrats to the people over there.
If you use Snapchat actively, please put Snap in the comments, please. They could make an interesting turnaround. I'm curious to see what's going to happen over the next quarter or two.
Facebook has a lot of heads on their wall. Rest in peace to Vine.
Go
rest
on.
In peace to Snap. Even though Snap's not dead, they're still technically dead.
They're close. Yeah. they're on life support.
Facebook took them out. They took Vine out. Did they take anybody else out?
Probably a bunch of
Periscope.
Periscope. Oh, man. Damn.
That's when you know you're OG.
Those are the crypto days when I was watching Periscopes, because that's the only place that people would talk on.
They took Vine. I remember Vine was doing 10.
Six. The 6 second, the 8 second video?
10.
They did 8, and then Instagram decided to go 15.
They were doing like 10 8 second videos. Went crazy. Everybody was doing it for the Vine. Facebook looked at it.
Ah, let me get that.
15 seconds. Done.
What?
Done.
Y'all want to up it? Now we're going to 30.
Six months later. Done. Done.
Yeah, it was over.
Snapchat, filters, stories.
Let me borrow that.
Done. Let me borrow. Done. Mm-hmm. They tried to do it with TikTok. That was the last. Shout out to 50 Cent.
I know you was going to say. Shout out to 50.
Shout out first and foremost. First and foremost.
Yo, I knew you was going to say 50,
foremost,
bro.
First and foremost.
All right, so what was the first
legend
name?
Legend.
No, we can't deny that.
Legend. And what he's doing now?
Even more legendary.
Even more legendary.
Ridiculous.
Even more. He's going to be a billionaire. Crazy.
Shout out to Force if y'all watched that this week.
Undefeated. Yeah. He was undefeated with Murder, Inc. Shout out to Murder, Inc. My whole Murder, Inc. family. But
yeah,
obviously, you know, that situation went the way it went. Murder, Inc. Had some issues with Jada Kiss. Shout out to Jada.
Jada, I love you.
Shout out to
my dog. My guy gonna snatch the verse back. Hold on. Hey, yo, King, what was that about the... Go ahead.
Reconciliation. Not reconciliation. Yeah. Reconciliation.
The first chicken arm was game. I gotta be honest. That 1,000 bars and running was serious.
Yes.
But when Rick Ross did not back down,
Rick Ross. He stood the test time. I was shocked.
He just punched. And Rick Ross just punched for no reason.
And that was he came at Rick Ross with everything. Yeah.
Pimp and Curly.
That was
funny. Tia told me.
Rick Ross stayed his course.
And did not.
Once you lose once, it's never the same.
So we got to give Game the credit.
Game was the first one.
Remember, did Farrakhan get involved? They brought him into New York City. They were on stage together?
Yeah. But so I say that to say, Facebook was on a nice thing. They was taking everybody. They was
bang.
You have to be careful of the enemies that you make. And then also, too, it's hard to take a competitor head on. But now when you have people circling you, like Denzel, I'm going to put cases on. That sound good. But when it's 28 people outside.
Yo.
Playing basketball.
That's going on the board.
You're playing basketball on Pelican Bay.
Shoe program.
Putting cases on all you.
Shoe program.
Sounds good. So the Russians pull up. And we didn't even talk about China and Russia. Told you. Oh, Putin, 200 billion crypto. Told you.
Okay. Bitcoin is above 40,000.
Yeah, it went over its 50-day moving average.
Did break 40,000.
Yeah. Shout out to all our Bitcoiners out there.
And shout out to the Russians that own majority of it. And go look what the founder of Ethereum said about Americans a few years ago. Go Google. Go do your research. It's a game.
He had an interview where he told how he sold, I think, 6 billion in Shiba coin or something like that. Some crazy number he sold just because it was.
Yeah, last year, right?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Vitalik.
Why? He told it because of what?
use case.
Oh, the Bored Ape Yacht Club.
We found them. We found the founders of it.
Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Does that hurt now that we could? Is this there's a certain? It's like Bitcoin and certain, you know, nostalgic feel when nobody knows who's behind something. Now that we know who's behind it, does the nostalgic of the Bored Ape Yacht Club is a fact?
Yeah.
Like how Ian always does his predictions. Bored Ape Yacht Club done. They're dead.
It's predictions and projections on one.
Somebody just put them both together.
New word alert.
Both.
Yeah. New word alert.
Both.
Board at Yacht Club will be dead in 2 years. Nobody will be talking about Board at Yacht Club in 2 years.
You give it a two.
Just for safety.
Okay. Okay.
It'll probably be done before that.
Before then, I do that too.
Shout out to all our counterparts who purchased one.
But Charlie said NFTs were dead. Told y'all that shit dead.
Shout out to y'all. Seriously.
Board at Yacht Club is
going to
be dead.
It's no use.
Shots. It's no point. It's just a board ape picture of an ape.
And I have an issue with us being sold apes anyway. The imagery of it.
Who are the apes?
Oh, but y'all, you want to get one? Okay. There's a lot of symbolism in what is being sold.
Yeah.
Be mindful. But hey, what do I know?
Were you surprised when you saw what it was? Like, it ain't surprise you. Yeah.
Mm. Why would I be surprised?
No, I'm just asking.
Board Ape Yacht Club. But shout out to everybody that, you know, whatever y'all want to do. But I just personally, I think an NFT should have some level of a use case attached to it. Real world application, physical, these art projects, be mindful. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So another glorious episode. Oh, I thought you left.
No, I ain't leave. I just got the little Biggie warning doorbell in the background.
Yeah, who the hell is this?
Paging me at 5:46. So we're not going through questions today because obviously it's a very important day. Ian's son's birthday, so we're gonna let him enjoy that moment. Some things are more important than stocks, and that includes birthdays. You only get one birthday a year, so you gotta cherish that. So we'll let Ian go attend to that. Before we go, you want to leave with the
Shout out to the Red Panda family. Shout out to all our earners. Again, we just want to let you know about a great choice if you're looking to bank or invest. Ally is a leading digital financial service company with passionate customer service, innovative financial solutions, and are relentlessly focused on doing what is right for both customers and our communities. Check out Ally so that you can save, invest, and spend on things that matter most to you. For everything we need, we're all better off with an Ally. Shout out to the good folks at Ally. And shout out to Chuck. It's his birthday this week. Whatever. I know you're watching. Happy birthday, bro.
Shout out to my boy. Before we leave, 2 Chainz tomorrow. Check it out. Dope episode. Shout out to Chainz. Subscribe to EYL University's YouTube page and TikTok. The link to the YouTube page is on our
website. Instagram.
And Instagram. Yes, very important. And London, we will see you on the 24th. RSVP. You must RSVP. And that's on, the link is on our website as well. London Town will be in the building.
West Coast. West Coast.
California. We will be out there this weekend. LA.
Oh, me too. Let's vibe.
Oh.
Are y'all there?
You out there?
Huh.
My name is my name.
Boy, I'm learning. Show up, pop up. Hey, what you doing here? What you doing? Oh, yeah. Jesus alert. When's it through Sunday vibes?
Oh, what? Oh, okay. Yeah,
you said Wednesday?
He said Wednesday.
Are we going to be there? We're going to be there Thursday to Monday. So let's definitely link when we get out there.
Okay. God is good. Things.
So, that's it. LA family, we're going to be out there. Tap in.
You don't know who we know. You know the rules.
Yes, you don't. You really don't. Yeah. Ian, last words?
Let's have fun this weekend.
All right, folks.
It's the freaking week.
Pergola or whatever. Something.
Not in literal.
It's just a bar. It's not a literal.
I'm not even saying the bar.
What? It's a classic. Oh, yeah. I forgot.
I'm not doing that. Yeah. All right, may you ready?
Who's gonna win the Super Bowl? Let's do predictions real quick.
All right, let's do that. Let's do that then. I'm going with Cincinnati. I'm a big Joe Burrow fan, and I'm a bigger Chase as a rookie of the year and maybe MVP of the game.
Two things for me. Shout out to Zach and shout out to Jesse. Those are my guys. I actually know 2 people as big supporters at EYL on the Bengals. One of them is a captain. So I have, and I ordered a throwback jersey.
You got it?
Did you?
It's in the mail. Because I just love those colors, black and orange. So
fire.
Yeah. I'm from that era where we used to root for teams based off of the colors of what you could wear.
Got you.
No. We stuck with a team, and that was our team. What area are you talking about?
So, you know, that's one of the greatest color combinations in history, that black and orange. So I'm going to go with the Bengals, but shout out to L.A. because that is the home team. So shout out to L.A., but I'm going to go with the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm going with Bengals, too. I'm going with Bengals, too.
So we all agree on the Bengals.
My son is going for the Rams, though, because Odell Beckham is his favorite player. So
Odell is the number one player on Instagram in the NFL.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I'm sure he will be on TikTok, too.
Oh, and shout out to Yo Gotti. That was really dope what I saw. Did you see what he just did?
What did he do?
He put a song out. He put a song out, and he owns his masters, so he made the song public for any up and coming artists to do whatever they want. And not only can they remix and use the song, but they could put it on all DSPs, so like Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and they can get paid from it, royalty free.
That's genius.
Great marketing. Great marketing.
My God, that's genius.
Great marketing. People, that's gonna go crazy.
Yeah,
that's gonna go crazy. So, I like.
I'm hitting too.
Yeah, whenever I see stuff like that, you know, I think it's dope. So that was dope. Shout out.
Innovation, man. Innovation. Shout out to him.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Let me go ahead and get in the meta real quick. Support Zuckerberg.
Facebook. Love is love. Love is love. Remember Peace. That. Remember that.
Love y'all, Facebook.
Remember who your friends are.
Brian. Yeah. We still need to monetize on Facebook.
By the way.
Try to run some ads.
All right, y'all.
Peace.
Don't close my account down, Facebook. I love y'all. It's just entertainment.
Shadow Man soon comes.
It's over. Now we done. Now we really done.
My God. Go to TikTok then.
We'll meet you talking.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.